Go ahead and take your Bibles this evening. Open up Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter number 3. Tonight we're going to look at probably one of the most familiar and famous Bible stories. It's one of my favorite Bible stories also. In Daniel chapter number 3, we're going to look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego facing off against Nebuchadnezzar and the great golden image and the burning fiery furnace. And we learned last week about the king's foolishness. And this week we're going to look at taking a stand. The title of tonight's message is Taking a Stand. Now, taking a stand is something that many people just don't enjoy doing for the right reasons nowadays. I see lots of people out in society taking a stand for the wrong reasons, yes, but taking a stand for the cause of Christ or for the biblical principles we have in today, many times people have gotten this notion, gotten this idea that it's no longer necessary, no longer even what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to instead just accept everything that comes our way and just swallow it and bow down to whatever we're supposed to bow down to. But that's not what we see in the Bible. That's not what we have coming to us in the Bible and all those other things. So I want you to see here Daniel chapter number 3. I want you to see some things. And I want us, hopefully this to help us to realize, you know what? I'm going to live and do what's right because that's what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to take a stand to live and do what's right because that's what I'm supposed to do. And I'm not going to compromise no matter who the audience is. I'm not going to compromise no matter what the circumstances are. I'm going to let things lie where they will, and I'm just going to live for God, and I am just going to do what's right no matter what. Now, some interesting passages of Scripture that I want to bring to your thought and your forethought. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about how through faith they quenched the violence of fire. Nowhere else in the Bible does it talk about somebody coming through the fire. Nowhere else in history do we know that someone did not come through the fire. So I think in Hebrews chapter 11, it's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego there. And I think that's something that we have because they went through faith. What do we learn about Sunday morning? Who can God bless? God blesses those that have faith. Even when it's far talking to Thomas, be not faithless, but believing. And if we truly want to live a life of faith, you know what that's going to mean? So we're going to take a stand. The world that we live in today is not getting easier, is not getting better, is not becoming more and more like God, more and more like Jesus Christ, more and more like the Bible. You know what it's doing? It's coming worse and worse, and it's getting farther and farther away. If you're going to live and try to live by this Bible and do what's right, there's going to be times in your life where you cannot remain silent. There's going to be times in your life where you have to learn to just take a stand. And here in the Word of God, it says that we learn how God blesses those who have faith. And what we talk about, how does He bless them? He gives them peace. And we learned about that on Sunday morning, how Jesus kept on entering. Whenever He entered a room, what did He say? Peace be unto you. You see this in the passages of Scripture. How can the three, I know sometimes you've heard all these Bible stories about these three young Hebrew children. Well, as we learned last week, if you study the book of Daniel and you study history, this is 23 years later. So Daniel probably, these three kids, the young people are probably not the 14, 15, 16, 17, or 18-year-olds that you saw back in Daniel chapter 1. These are men that are probably my age, and that is really old, somewhere between mid-30s to early 40s. And that's 23 years later, and these are grown men standing there taking this stance. Once again, these are the dignitaries. These are the high ups, and here we see that you see the peace of God. You don't see Him tremble. You don't see Him get up worried. You don't see Him get upset. And in all reality, He says, we are not careful to answer thee, O Nebuchadnezzar. What are they saying? We've weighed the options. We've weighed the costs. We've counted the costs. And we're not worried to tell you about this. We're not even scared or nervous to take this stand. And where do you get that? That's by having peace. That's by having an understanding of who God is and leaving everything at God's hands and leaving everything at God's feet. He talked about being a man of faith not only gives you peace, but also gives you power. He talked about the Holy Spirit of God giving you the power, gives you purpose. You're going to see in the story today that there is a purpose to this. You're going to see how God is going to be evangelizing a whole group of people that are going to go back to their provinces and go back to their nations. And what are they going to do? They're going to evangelize them and tell them the story about this one true God. I think it's really neat when you see this and you understand this, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are there. They're cast into the fiery furnace. They're brought out in front of all these high up people, all these dignitaries. They're on their knees, bowing down to a golden image, but God is delivering them. The one true God is delivering them out of the fire, and they're seeing this. Now, I told you before, there's probably hundreds, maybe thousands of people there. So they were seeing what was going up on the stage. They were seeing the men being thrown into the furnace. They were seeing the men come out of the furnace. I'm sure it got around the whole thing that, you know, they don't even smell like smoke. They don't even, there is no, nothing that, none of the fire is there. It's amazing. They're saying, why are we bowing down to this golden image where this one God, this true God, and Nebuchadnezzar makes a decree here. Now, before we get to it, I do want to remind you of a couple of things that we don't like to think about. Is we are supposed to be separated. The Bible teaches us that. It's clear about that. We are not supposed to be like the world. We are to be different. Now, I'm not talking about the world when we're talking about the trees and the grass and that. The Bible tells us to be different from the world system. The devil is the one that's in control of the world. The devil is the one that, and once again, I know God's in control of all things, but the devil is the prince and power of the air. He's the king of this world in a sense, and he does things in this world. We're supposed to be opposed to the worldly things that are going on. They are not neutral. They are for the devil. They are against God. And that's when the Bible tells us to be that he who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, redeem us from those things of the world, and purify him. It means take us through an idea of sanctification to make us more like his son, and purify into himself of people like everybody else. It doesn't say that. What does it say? A peculiar people. That means that they're different than everyone else. They're different than the rest of the world. And you see that today. There's three that are standing there that's different from everyone else that is bowing. They're the only ones beside Nebuchadnezzar that's probably not on their knees. And why do we know this? It's because God has purified them. God is working in their hearts and God is working in their lives. We saw that when they took that stand in Daniel chapter 1. We saw that when they took the stand in Daniel chapter number 2. And they were able to answer. Now here in Daniel chapter 3, men that are in their mid-30s, believing and trusting in God. You say, well, that's easy. Look at the answers and prayers they had. Oh, yeah, you remember that. But remember where they're at. They're under slavery. They're in Babylon. They're in a far country far away. It's been 23 years. God has not came and delivered them yet. They're not getting everything they want. They're not sitting at home with children and getting ready for grandchildren and being there with their parents and their grandparents. Where are they at? They're in a far country. It's not the idea of circumstances. Sometimes I think we get this idea that these guys had these silver spoons in their mouth and it was easy for them to take a stand because everything was good and everything was right. No, they're in a pagan culture. Everyone else is living wickedly. Everyone else is bowing the knee. Everyone else is doing what they're supposed to do. And here they are with this challenge. Here they are. They are brought up before, remember, the first world emperor. Well, here they are brought up with probably the most powerful man to ever live when it comes to kingdoms and reigns. And he says, look, if you don't bow, you're going to enter the fiery furnace. It's a threat. That's what it is. It's an intimidation. And Christian, I tell you, we need to learn to take a stand no matter what the intimidation is. We need to learn to take a stand no matter what the interrogation is. You know what Nebuchadnezzar said to him last week? You see it in verse number 15. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? You know, he was interrogating. You know, Christians, sometimes when we take a stand, you know what the problem is? People start saying, well, who do you think you are? Oh, that, why do you say the Bible says that? Who is God to tell us what we should and should not do? We need to learn to take a stand despite the intimidation that people try to bring our ways. If you don't take a stand, I'm not going to be your friend. If you don't stop this, you're going to have to start doing this. You know, and we need to learn how to take a stand no matter what the insinuation is. Amen. The insinuation, you say, Pastor, what are you talking about here? What did those Chaldeans say? They went up to the king and says, look, they're not like us. They don't worship us. They were saying that they were enemies of the king. You know, that's what you're going to have when you take a stand. People are going to make insinuations. They're going to say, I know you. I know why you're doing this. And what did they do to David when his brother was there? He says, I know why you came. I know the naughtiness of your heart. See, his oldest brother wasn't willing to fight Goliath. So he couldn't understand why anybody else would take this stand. And that's what David was doing. And they were insinuating, you're not really here because of God. You're here because you want this and you just want to see the battle and this and that. And you're trying to make us all feel bad. Now, Christian, we take a stand and you take a stand for God. and you don't worry about the insinuations, you don't worry about the intimidations, you don't worry about the interrogations. You just do what you know is right. Why not? Here's a question that's today's philosophy for Christians. Why not just bow and then repent later on? That's what so many times. Oh, just go ahead and bow down later on. God wouldn't want you to lose your life. God wouldn't want you to do anything that's going to harm yourself. He wants to use you later on. Why don't you just bow down and later on go back and repent? See, that's what has entered and has gotten into our hearts and our thoughts and our minds and saying, what's the big deal? Everybody else is doing. Not these men. And we see these are men of faith. These are men that God is blessing. These are the type of people that God is using. And Christian, we need to learn to take a stand. They had made up their minds that they would not bow, and they didn't. Certainly, there's a good example for believers today. There are some things that are just plain wrong. It doesn't matter who may be that's doing them. It doesn't matter who it is that's talking about it. It doesn't matter what it is that everybody else, it's still wrong. We need to start calling it wrong. We need to take a stand against things that are wrong and just learn to do what's right because it's what's right to do. And that's all Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do. They made a decision a long time ago that they were not going to serve other gods. Amen. And because of that, they can stand today. I wonder how many of us have really made decisions in our hearts and our lives that we're not going to put with things of this world. We're not going to act worldly. We're not going to live for the things of this world. Instead, we made the decision that we're going to do what's right because it's what's right, because we want to please God. And then when the circumstances come, the decision's already made. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't need to listen to the music to decide whether or not they were going to bow down. They already decided. They had already made up their mind. They already knew about it. They were going to stand. They didn't kind of shrink down. They didn't try to send in and say they were sick. They didn't stay home. They didn't hide away from the Chaldeans. They didn't try to go and hide behind some really big person so that maybe nobody could see them. No. They did what they were supposed to because they were going to, and they didn't care who saw their stand. And Christians, I think this is what we can learn from today. It's not to shy away. We're going to learn here a little bit tonight. Let's pick up here in verse number 15, go all the way down to the end of the chapter. I want you to see some things tonight about taking a stand. Verse number 15, now, if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if you worship not, ye shall not be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning, in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And here's the question he asks: and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Once again, to reiterate what they had already made decision. They had already counted the cost. They were not careful. They were not worried. They were not intimidated. They were not being forced to just mouth these words. They believe this. Look what it says in verse number 17. These are men of faith. If it be so, saying if they end up in the fire, if it be so, our God. Now here's the difference, and this is not the message. I want to bring this out now. It's our God. You know, is God your God tonight? I'm not talking about just because maybe you're saved and on your way to heaven. I'm talking about living right and doing what's right. Is he your God? Is he the Lord of your life tonight? Is the things that are in your heart and your life, is he God? Because that's who he was to him. There was no other gods. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, what did he have? He called out all those magicians. He called out all those wizards. He called out all those people to do what? Try to get him to help interpret the dream. And they couldn't do it. He believed in all these other gods. And now they're instituting a whole brand new God. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't having anything to do with it. He says, our God. And that's what we need to learn. That we are not supposed to be servants of this world. We are not supposed to have idols in this world. Our God. And that's the difference. Is he our God tonight? Is he the ruler of our lives? Or are we, don't know what it is that we believe. Now look at the next phrase. Whom we serve. You know, he was God to them. It was somebody he served. And here it is. Is he our God whom we serve? Now, what is serving? It is doing what our master wants us to do. Not doing what some of the stuff we want to do. It's doing what our master desires for us to do. It means that we're in. It means that this is what we want to do. It's God. This is what he wants me to do with my life. This is who we are serving. And, you know, you can be a Christian, saved and on your way to heaven, and not serve God. Now, I think you're going to face the chastisement and discipline of God and all those things in your life. Yes. But are you serving God tonight? I'm not talking about all the works that you do. I'm not even talking about all the things you do for the church. I mean, I appreciate those things. But are we serving God? Where's our heart tonight? Is it really, truly at a desire to say, you are Lord and I want to please you? What is it you want me to do with my life? What is it that you want me to do around here? Now, it's not based off what I want to do. It's not based off what I like to do. It's not based off of what... If you have a job and you got somebody to tell you, you got somebody to tell them what to do as the boss, you're not going to let them say, well, I don't really like to do that, so I'm not going to do it today. It ain't going to work that way. What's going to happen? You're going to get fired. And, you know, with me and Mr. Mark around here, you know, there are some things that we don't enjoy doing. And sometimes he's the one that gets to end up doing it. I says, I know this isn't going to be fun. I know this is going to be a little bit extra on you, but I want you to do this. And Mr. Mark has always been, you know, yes, sir, whatever you need. I'm willing to do whatever you want. You know, it's because he wants to serve the Lord. And he knows that in his role that he's in here as the assistant pastor, he is supposed to do what I ask him to do. And he is serving me, but he's serving the Lord more and more, most support. He's working with it. Same thing with your work. And you're not going to say, oh, nah, I just don't want to do that. And keep your job. That's not serving. That's not working. And that's so many Christians say, I just don't want to do this. Or I don't want to stop. You know, are we serving God? And here he keep on, our God whom we serve. And you see the faith here is able to deliver us. He says, I know that. He says, there is no question in my mind, no thought, he's able to deliver us. And when we take a stand, we must realize that God is supreme and we will allow him to do whatever it is that he wants. And he says, look at what he says, able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Now, what did in verse number 15, he's saying, who can do it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, my God can. He says, I don't know about coming out. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying, I know I have to go in. If you're giving me this choice, I don't have any other choice. I know my God is able to do it. But you keep on reading, and it says, to deliver us out of her. And look at this next phrase. He will deliver us out of thine hand. And they had faith that he was going to do it. And once again, we don't ever know whether or not God is going to answer our prayers the way we desire. Sometimes you see the traditions that we hear of the Christians in the first century. They lost their lives at the burning. I mean, we don't know that, but God is able. Maybe God was telling them that. Actually, take your Bible and go to Isaiah chapter 43 real quick. I don't want to go too far with this, but I want to show you something that I thought was neat. Isaiah chapter number 43. Or you can just listen if you like to. Isaiah chapter 43, I'll give you another second to get there. Isaiah chapter 43, the word of God says in verse number 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Now look what it says, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Now, I think this is interesting because, you know, he calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego by name. He doesn't call them three Hebrew children. You know what he does? He calls them out by name. And I think it's great that God knows our name and he calls us by name. And he says, thou art mine. Now look what it says in verse number 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. He says, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Now I like this next one. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Nowhere else in history does it say that anybody made it through the fire. Could somebody have? Yes. Could God work that way? Obviously he did for them. He could still even do it today if he wanted to. But if you go through your Bible, go through history, no one else through the fire had ever been able to do this. Neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. Now, here in my sanctified imagination, I think about this. I'm wondering when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is facing Nebuchadnezzar, if the Holy Spirit's reminding them of this verse.
Yes, sir.
You know, that when thou walkest through the fire, thou should not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, once again, that's use your imagination. I know the fire here is referring to trials of our lives, and we face fires all the time. But here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before this king were wise men. They weren't dumb. Isaiah was already written ahead of time. They would have known this. and they would have known these verses maybe. What an encouragement there is there, that God is with them. Let's keep go back to Daniel chapter number 3. I thought that was neat, and they're facing this fire. Let's keep on going in verse number 18 in Daniel 3. He says, but if not, he's saying, look, King, our God is able to deliver us. Our God will deliver us out of thy hand. Doesn't say he's going to deliver him out of the fiery furnace, but he knows that he's going to deliver him out of the hand of the king, that he's the one in complete control. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, I think this is interesting here. He says, look, even if God chooses not to deliver me, I'm not going to bow down to your gods. I'm not going to serve your gods. And guess what? No matter what you do to me, it won't matter. He says, I don't know about coming out of the fire, because he said about putting him in the fiery furnace. No one could. So I don't know about coming out of the fire, but I got to go in that fire. These are the two choices. Guess what? I'm going to go in the fire. And Christian, this is what we got to learn. Two choices on the shelf. Am I going to live for ourselves or live for God? Two choices on the shelf. Am I going to do what's right or am I going to do what's wrong? We'll keep on reading. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against. I told you before, I thought Nebuchadnezzar knew Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think he liked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He called them by name. He gave them a chance to do it again. But now everything's changed. They defied Nebuchadnezzar, this great king, and he could not stand it. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats. And once again, they came to this big deal. So they were dressed to the T like everybody else, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You can picture this huge furnace that can hold three men with so much heat. And in verse 22, therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So we see the best soldiers, man's best, could not stand up to the fire. Now, we're not just talking about somebody in their own army. These were the biggest and strongest men probably in all the world, because he was a world emperor here. Verse number 23, and it says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the fiery, burning fiery furnace. And then we see the miracle. This is a miracle. You can't explain it away. There is no other way around it. You believe the Bible or you don't believe it. You believe that God did deliver them, and you believe the rest of it, or you choose to not believe it. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. You know, and he says, look, guys, didn't we throw three guys in there? And they're like, yeah. And he says, well, there's something wrong with my math thing, because I see four guys there. Look, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, and they're not bound anymore, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And I think that's an interesting phrase, and I'm hoping we get a chance to talk about that in a minute. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth in the midst of the fire. And now look at this next phrase. Now I want you to notice who sees this. And the princes, governors, captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They took a stand, and they didn't even smell like the fire. Christians, if you take a stand, you're not even going to smell like the world. And I tell you, sometimes people stink of the world, and they you can tell that when they live for the world, and they live for the things of the world, and you can see it in their lives. You can see it written all over them. And even if they're a believer, they got the world in them, you can see it, and you can see these men were not in the fire. And just like they are in the fire, but they were not of the fire. Just like we're in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. And you see in verse number 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angels and delivered his servants and trusted in them, and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill. because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword. Then King promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, we could spend months talking about this one story. When I was in Bible college, they said, you pick one story, you write five messages that you would teach in a revival type thing or in a Christian camp setting. And I picked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this story here. And I have a lot of things that we could talk about, but we're going to go quickly. We're going to go over four things tonight. When you take a stand, there will always be an audience, is the first thing. When you take a stand, there will always be an audience. What do you mean? Well, if you're going to take a stand against something and someone's going to see it, someone's going to be watching. And you got to remember all the different people that are here. First, I want you to think about that when you take a stand, it might be somebody that's your authority. King Nebuchadnezzar was the king right then. He was in charge of all the world. He was the world emperor. He was their authority. And sometimes when you take a stand, you're going to have to take a stand against some authority. Now, once again, I want you to understand, Jesus taught about this with the Romans, because the Jews says, you render to Caesar what's Caesar's, but what's God is God's. And here, sometimes we're going to have to take a stand for what's right. Sometimes we might have to face difficulties in the day and time that we live in, that the government might become so big that they might try to tell us to stop living for God, try to tell us to stop serving God, try to tell us to stop talking about Jesus, and try to tell us that we can't be talking about Jesus Christ. You know what? We need to learn who our true Lord and Master is, and that's Jesus Christ. And when we take a stand, we can't be taking a stand for anybody else but for what's right. And when we take that stand, sometimes those in authority are just going to have to see us. And I want you to understand, don't be disrespectful. And that's the last point, is that when you take the stand, you got to do it with the right spirit. But we'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to understand, the authority was there. Second thing I want you to see, his peers was there. His peers were there. You know, you go back, and we won't go back and look at all the different people that was there in verse number 2, but in a few minutes we'll look at that. But all the dignitaries, all the high up, all the people that were in charge of all the different provinces, they were there. They were their equals. They were there. The Chaldeans were there. Remember, they were the ones that accused them. So all their peers were there. Sometimes when you take a stand, not only would the authority be there, but you know who else might be there? The peers might be there too. And I know there's young people here tonight. I'm glad that this was the night that Mr. Mark wasn't here, so that way they could hear. You know, you've got to learn how to take a stand around your friends. I mean, I want you to understand this. Your peers that are there, they have to be an understanding that you're going to take a stand as a Christian. You're going to take a stand as a believer. And that can work two different ways. One of the messages that I did in Bible college when I wrote out is, would your friends go with you through the fire? Would your friends go with you through the fire? And then you think about it, you take two young people. We'll take my son, Christian Pease, and Christian Bateman there. I was going to have him come up front because of time, we're not going to. You got Christian Pease that's there. And, you know, Christian Pease, he wants to do what's right. He wants to live for God, and he wants to take a stand. You got Christian Bateman there. Same things, wants to do what's right, wants to take a stand, and wants to live for God. And then you come up against an obstacle, and you come up against a trial, and you come up against a test. You know what usually happens in many Christians' lives? You know what happens is that one of them choose not to take the stand. One of them choose to walk away. You know what that means? That man isn't willing to go through the fire with you. You know what that means? That is somebody you should not make a close personal friend. Because you need to have friends, you need to have people that are around you that will go through the fire with you, because you realize when you have a stand, you got an audience that's all around you. You say, Pastor, that seems pretty hard. What you know, if Christian Pease chooses not to take the stand, chooses to walk away, then, well, you know what? Christian Bateman can still be friends with, and really good pals. You know, once again, a friend is important, but what does a friend do? A friend helps bring somebody closer to Jesus Christ. And if Christian Bateman takes the stand and he says, I'm sorry, Christian, I don't want to live like the world. I don't want to be like the world. I'm going to take the stand. I'm going to do what's right. At the end of this chapter, you know what happens? Everybody sees the person who's taking the stand. You know where all those other Jewish people were that was in that crowd? They're on their knees. They didn't help any person that was there. They didn't help make a difference in anyone's lives, because they were bowing down to the world. They were bowing down to the idol. And if Christian Pease chose to walk away, chose not to take the stand, Christian Bateman's got to say, you know what? That guy cannot be my close personal friend, because I need to find somebody who's willing to go through the fire with me, because I need somebody, I need Christian Pease to be able to look at my life and say, someone can take a stand, and I need to try to encourage him. I need him to be able to say someday, that, you know what, you can take a stand. All those Jewish people that were bowing down, that was there, you can't tell me that there wasn't Jewish people there. I mean, they had captured and they had brought so many. They had put them up in positions throughout the empire. And they were there and they were bowing down. And, you know, all the Jews, they were all bowing down. But there was three that were willing to stand up and go through the fire. And think about it. What is it that you're doing in your life? I want to reach my friends. I want to reach my family. Then don't bow down. Because, you know what, when you bow down, your name's not mentioned in the Bible. What are you doing? You're bowing down to the world. You're not going to make a difference in anyone's life. You know who's going to make the difference? It's the one who chooses to make the stand. The one who says, I don't care if I had to go through the furnace. I don't care who else knows. You know what? The governors and the princes and everyone that was there, the Chaldeans, they all saw it. You need to find some peers that will go through the fire with you. You need to find somebody. You got to be honest with you. There are some people who I would consider people who go through the fire with me. And you know what? They're not even Steeler fans. What does that mean? That means the fact that we have a common ground is not as important as our ground that we stand on with God. Yeah. And we go here and we have some people here. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think it's amazing sometimes when we see all the different people here. There's a lot of people, a lot of different people, that's for sure. There's a lot of people that have differences and that gets different interests and different things. And you know what? But what brings us together? It's God. And we need to learn that there are peers that are around us, and we need to say, I want somebody that's going to be close to me, someone who's going to be around me, that's going to help encourage my Christian walk. Does that mean Christian Bateman ignores Christian peace? Heaven forbid, no. You don't outcast them. What do? You try to encourage them to God. How can you encourage them to God when you're living like the world, when you're bowing down to the world? Then, you know, I want to reach my families. Then let your family see you living for God, not compromising, not giving in, taking a stand. And this is important that we grab this and understand this. Your peers will be around you. Your peers need to see this. The good peers and the bad peers, the equals. Your peers are there. So, Christian, tonight, you think about this. You take this stand. Don't you want to help that friend? I'm not trying to be hard. You know what church discipline is about? Church discipline is bringing a person back to what? Restoration. The idea is to restore a person. It's to get them right. It's not to try to make them feel horrible. It's not to try to make them feel wicked. It's not trying to make them, you know what it is? It's to get them to start thinking and get thinking right. And that's why you go to that individual and you say, look, there's an issue. There's a problem here that you're going against. You know what? And then you go a second time with a group of people, try to help. And then why is all that there? It's because you're trying to reach the one person. You don't want to lose the one person. You don't want to see them gone. And when we bow down to the world, when we give in and when we compromise, when we say, everything's okay, we'll just bow down now and just kind of stay quiet right now. You know what's going to happen? We're not going to help that person we so desperately want to help. And once again, we need to do it with the right spirit and the right time. Next thing I want you to see, not only there will always be an audience, not only will there be the leaders in authority, not only will there be peers, but lastly, there'll be Jesus Christ there. I like that in the story. Nebuchadnezzar turns around and he sees the Son of God. He was a pagan king. How do you know about the Son of God? You know what? I think God whispered something in his ear that day. I know Daniel had an influence there and Daniel talked to him, but I think God, when he saw that there, he's sitting on his big throne, he says, yeah, let all those guys burn. That will teach everybody else. They better watch. And then he sees that there are four there. And then he sees this going on. He sees that there's four there. And I think God whispers to him and says, that's my Son. And I think that Nebuchadnezzar jumps up and he says, there's four of them in there. I think one's the Son of God. And you know, it goes back to that question, who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? And that's what God is saying, I can. I'm the one that can deliver you out of my hand. I'm the one that can do this. And Christians, we need to understand this. We need to see this. If we really want to make a difference, I think we're going to save the rest for next week. Or actually in a couple weeks. I'm going to be out of town next week. But Mr. Mark will be preaching. That if you want to take a stand, you need to do it because it's right. You don't need to do it because of the fact that, hey, I want everybody else to see my stand because I want them to think I'm high and holy. You need to just live for right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't searching for rewards. They were searching to make God happy. And sometimes when you take the stand, you will always have an audience. People will always be watching. You'll have people that are in authority. And, you know, sometimes it'll be your bosses. Sometimes it will be the government officials. Sometimes it will be maybe even your church friends, which are your peers, or your unsaved friends, which are peers. But we need to find some people. We need to learn to lean on people that will go through the fire with you. You don't need to keep on living a life that's just gaining more and more people that are just going to agree with the world and agree with sin and say, okay, and just never take a stand. Say, Pastor, I got to lose all my friends. I didn't tell you that. I tell you, you want to influence them, don't you? You want to make a difference in their life, don't you? Don't you want to see them get right with God? Don't you want to see them do what's right? And you need to take a stand. You got to learn to live for them. You got to learn to realize the right perspective. And who made the difference? You go back in this story, and this is some of the main points that are later on. King Nebuchadnezzar is glorifying God at the end. The dignitaries that are there, they're seeing what's going on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they would not bow and get right later, because they would not give in to the little things of the world, because they would not compromise, they made the difference. And that's the type of person that makes a difference. Taking a stand. So as we close, I want you to think about this tonight. In my life today, am I taking a stand that's going to make a difference in the people that I love? I tell you that, that's something that really affects and motivates my heart at times. I look back on my life and I realize how privileged I was to go to a Christian school, to go to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And I realized growing up, I didn't have a lot of friends that would go through the fire with me. But there was a lot of people I wanted to influence. There was family I wanted to influence. There was friends that I wanted to influence. There was people I worked with that I wanted to influence. I wanted to influence all this. I wanted to make a difference in this world. But you know what my worldly, compromising stand did? It gave them the ability to feel comfortable around me. Oh yeah, he went to church. Oh yeah, and they respected me for my beliefs and the few stands I took about not cursing around me and not doing certain things around me. But how much more of a difference could I have made if I would have just took a stand for what I would believe was right? Because I wasn't living the right way. The world was in me. Some of the world was in me. My thinking was like the world. My thinking was if I did something wrong, I could get right later on. You know what? I couldn't influence too many people. I couldn't make too much of a difference. You want to know why? It's because I wasn't taking a stand. And Christian, tonight, consider taking a stand. Consider who is the ones that really influence us. Think about those that really influence you in your Christian life. What is it that you appreciate about them and see about them? I can almost guarantee if they are sold out and you want to be sold out for God, that at some point in time, and hopefully still is, they were people that were living for God and taking a stand. If you brought some type of thing that you're going through that was sin, they wouldn't just sit there and say, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. God still loves you. They would say, you need to get right. You need to get it fixed. You need to get it worked on. And once again, a loving and kind spirit. That's important. And we're going to get to that. And we'll get to that in a few weeks because that's an important key. Not being like a Pharisee, not looking down upon people. Because I know in my life, I needed people to come around me and say, hey, you need to step it up. You need to change. If you really want to live for God, you're going to have to take a stand here. You're not going to be wishy-washy. You're not going to say, oh, maybe I'll come to church. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll read my Bible. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll pray. Maybe I won't. We need to be people of faith that take a stand in what we believe in. And we'll finish this up next time. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer.